Word. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to kick this thing off with verses 6 through 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here this morning. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, it's a very popular one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, underline that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Today I want to talk about a topic that every person on this earth desires and is chasing down. This thing is so important that it affects every area of our life. It'll affect you mentally. It'll affect you physically. I want to talk about the topic of peace this morning. Say peace. How many of you like to have a little more peace in your life? Oh, you're in the right place. The title of my message today is this: The Benefits of Peace. The benefits of peace. It ran through my mind, should I call it the benefits of peace or the dynamics of peace? Because I'm going to talk, there's so many intricate details about this, but I chose the benefits of peace. The Holy Spirit gave me several important points to share with you today about peace. Maybe points that you've never really even thought of before in connection to this topic. Having and maintaining peace is a very powerful advantage in many areas of our life. Here's why peace is so powerful. It is so powerful, so beneficial because, are you ready for this? Because God created us to live a life of peace. I said God created us to live a life of peace. Peace was God's original intent and plan for our life, and it still is today after the fall in the Garden of Eden. Amen? He hasn't done away with that desire. He still wants us to live a life of peace. So peace, you could say it this way. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Listen to me. Peace falls within God's divine order for our life. Peace falls within God's divine order for our life. We were never created to live a life of anxiety or fear. That is not the will of God for us, His creation. We have always been destined for a life of peace. That's God's desire for us. You got to come to a place in your life where you got to understand the will of God is for me to have peace in my life. Every area of it. Amen? It doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are that you're going through right now. You can take advantage of the peace that passes all understanding. Whatever you're going through. The Apostle Paul, in fact, he maintained peace in a prison cell, in a small, dark, damp dungeon. So it's possible to have peace in whatever storm that you're going through today. Amen? Peace is not and should not be based on your present circumstances. Let me just encourage you. Whatever it is you're going through right now, the seasons will change. The circumstance, you're not going to be in this place forever. Sure, you might be going through something that's real grievous and painful emotionally and all that, but I promise you, listen, someone's talking to you who's been through a lot in his life, a lot of loss, a lot of things that happened, and I promise you, things will get brighter, things will get better. Amen? So peace should not be based on your present circumstances. It should be based on your faith and relationship in your Heavenly Father. All right, and in the promises of His Word. So, here we go. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, let's take a look at here. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 25, we'll take a look at here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, underline it, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, now, so walking in the Spirit, what does that mean? I touch on that in some past messages. Walking in the Spirit means to allow, listen to me, allow your born-again spirit man to dominate and influence every area of your life. See, a lot of people look at that and say, well, the fruit of the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. Really, it's not. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to walk in that. We need it. Are you following me? But here's the connection. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, and he's helping you to manifest those things in your life. So, but really, it's talking about living and walking with your born-again spirit man to influence every area of your life, not your flesh. Amen? So the fruit of the Spirit is talking about your born-again spirit man, where the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So now, it is a fruit or a manifestation of being led by the Holy Spirit. So again, I'm not discounting the Holy Spirit in that process, but I truly believe this is talking about your born-again spirit, which includes the Holy Spirit living in you, in your spirit. Are you with me? Did I lose you? You stuck in the mud? Do I need to pull you out? All right. But listen to this. I want you to notice verse 24 reveals to us that if we're going to have the fruits of the Spirit in our life, it says we must crucify. Say that word. Ooh, just the word makes you kind of cringe a little bit, doesn't it? We must crucify the flesh or the sinful desires and passions that would try to influence us in an opposite direction. Okay? Listen to this. The three greatest indicators that we are walking in the Spirit on this earth is this. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. The three greatest indicators that we're walking in the Spirit is that we are, number one, now, here it is. Number one, living a life of love. Amen? And that we have peace on the inside of us. And that we are, this is a big one, and that we are demonstrating self-control in our life, in every area. Let me say it again. The three greatest indicators that we're walking in the Spirit is if we're living a life of love, all right? We have peace on the inside, and that we're demonstrating self-control. If you got those three things working, baby, you're on your way. You're on your way to greatness. Amen? So having peace on the inside of us, why is peace an indicator? All right? Because having peace on the inside allows you to maintain self-control. Peace allows you to maintain self-control. The Word of God tells us this. It says to let peace rule in our heart or in our mind or in our thought life. Let it rule. We must allow it to rule in our heart. Go with me to John 14. Let me show you something here. John 14. Oh, peace is bigger than you just saying, oh, I feel good. Oh, no. Peace is going to put you in the right direction. It's going to allow you to crucify the flesh. It's going to allow you to maintain self-control. All right? John 14, 27. Let's take a look at here. Jesus said these words. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here's a very important point about peace. Are you ready for this? Don't miss this. Peace is not automatic in our life as a Christian. Peace is not automatic in our life as a Christian. Why? Are you ready for this? Peace must be received, and it must be, here's that word that was used today, maintained. Say maintained. Maintained. Say received, received and maintained. Peace must be received and maintained in our life. The receiving and the maintaining part is our responsibility as Christians. All right? Just like every other benefit in the new covenant through faith in Jesus Christ. Every benefit must be received and it must be held on to. Amen? So to have faith to receive a benefit, again, you must, first of all, know that this thing is available to you. If you don't know it's available and you don't know that peace is the will of God in your life, you're never going to receive it and you're not going to maintain it. Amen? You must know it. So you must be convinced and confident of that fact that, hey, my Heavenly Father wants me to not only have peace, but he wants me to maintain it in the storms of life that we go through. Oh, I like that. Jesus said that he gives us his peace. Meaning, what did Jesus mean by that? He means that he has made available the provision of peace. It's a provision. Jesus came to die for the sins of the whole world, but is the whole world saved right now? Why? Because it must be received and it must be maintained. And the same is true with physical healing. The same is true with any blessing, with peace. Amen? Now, Jesus goes on to say something very interesting in that same verse. So he says, hey, I give it to you. So a lot of Christians just stop there and say, well, you know, my faith in believing in Jesus, I should just have peace, right? Well, Jesus went on to say something else. Don't just stop in the first part of that verse. Listen to this. He went on to say this. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice Jesus uses the word let, and he uses the phrase let not. Jesus is telling us ultimately it's up to us if we're going to receive it and if we're going to maintain it. See, say it's not automatic. Say that. Say it's not automatic. Jesus is revealing our part to play in the receiving and maintaining peace in our life. So there's something we need to do. All right? Peace is only available. Listen to this now. Peace is only available to us as Christians when we stay within the boundaries of the new covenant. Or you could say it this way, as we abide in Christ. As we abide in Christ. Outside of Christ, I'm talking to Christians today. I'm not talking to the unbeliever right now. I'm talking to Christians. Outside of Christ, a backslidden condition, you're falling away from it. Outside of Christ, listen, is confusion and there is a lack of peace. Would you agree with that? So the boundaries are this: faith, hope, and love. Remaining in faith means that you are in obedience to God and his word. So we need, if you're going to take advantage, if you're going to receive that peace, if you're going to maintain it, you need to be living a life of obedience to the word of God. Amen? So that's why when you're in disobedience, there's a confusion. There's a fear overtaking your life. There's an anxiety over your life. You're outside, you could say it this way, when you're in disobedience, you're outside of a faith mindset. Say faith mindset. And when you're outside of a faith mindset, of course it's going to be impossible to have peace in your life. Amen? Go with me to Isaiah 26:3. I've mentioned this scripture quite a bit in the past, but it's so powerful about the topic of peace. We need to stay within a faith mindset. So a faith mindset is a mindset that stays connected to your Heavenly Father. A faith mindset is a mindset that, hey, I want to walk in obedience to the Word of God. I want to walk in obedience to the Holy Ghost. Amen? Isaiah 26:3, look at this. You will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Oh, I like that. It is a perfect, listen to this. The Hebrew word that's translated perfect peace in there, ready for this? The Hebrew word is shalom. Say shalom. That means it's a perfect, it's a complete peace. Another word, listen to this. Another word to define the Hebrew word shalom, I love this. Ready for this? Tranquility. Oh. Say that, tranquility. Doesn't just saying that word makes you just kind of want to doze off and sleep a little bit, doesn't it? Tranquility. And it also means this, listen to this, contentment with God in a covenant relationship. Contentment with God in a covenant relationship. Now, listen to what the word tranquil means. Are you ready for this? I love this. Tranquil means calm. I like this one better. Free from disturbance. Free from disturbance. So in other words, you are not focused on, you are not disturbed by the troubles and the problems around you because you have confidence and faith in God because of this fact. Ready for this? Because you are in covenant with God and He is faithful and He will never fail you. That's why you're confident. You're confident because of covenant. Say covenant. To lack peace, to have anxiety and fear, listen, is a trust problem. It's a trust problem when you boil it down. Listen to this. So here's the other powerful point to receiving and maintaining peace. The word mind, you heard me say it a lot of times in here. The word mind in Isaiah 26:3, who keeps his mind focused on Him, is also translated creative imagination. Say creative imagination. I like that. So listen to this. What's that saying? Instead of meditating on and playing the negative circumstances in your mind or in your thought life, your confidence and faith in God and in His Word compels you. Listen, it compels you to only imagine or to only see with your spiritual eyes a positive outcome. You got to start seeing a positive outcome on the inside with your spiritual eyes, in your imagination. Faith, listen to this. The Holy Spirit said this. Faith is simply this. You're focused on a blessed and positive future. You're focused on a blessed and positive future. It is rooted in the fact that you understand the power of covenant. When you do your part, God is faithful to do His part in your life. Amen? That's right. So listen to this. Think about this. The Holy Spirit brought this to my attention as I was writing this. Think about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit as a Christian is based on covenant. Now, this is something so obvious that it passed me by. You only hate that when something's so obvious it just kind of flies by. You've never seen it before. Here's how our relationship with the Holy Spirit is based on covenant, meaning both parties have a part to play. Are you ready for this? I'm getting ready to drop this. Listen to this. We are supposed to be the doers of the word, and the Holy Spirit teams up with us to help us. That's covenant. We do our part, He does His. We don't do our part, He can't do His part. It's covenant. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is totally based on covenant. You move, He moves. We draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to us. Are you following me? Say covenant. He is our helper. The Holy Spirit's our helper. He's not the doer. We're the doer. Then He helps. That's covenant. That our relationship with the Holy Spirit is based on covenant. A two-way. Two-way street right there. I love that. Our obedience to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit keeps the covenant between us and God active. Ooh, think about that. All right. Why do you think the Word of God constantly is telling us to pray, to seek the Lord, to invite Him into situations? Why do you think that is? Because He's trying to get us, come on, listen to me, to activate the covenant between us and God. He's saying, I'll do my part, but you got to invite me. You take the first step, and then I'll take the step. But many times, we're just in the flesh, and we're trying to do things all on our own, and we're like, God, where are you? And He's saying, activate the covenant. Oh, my. Listen, I'm giving you a point here that could revolutionize your life. Whew. Think about that. Wow, the Holy Spirit just said, He said, I'm giving you a point that could release financial prosperity in your life like never before. How many of you want financial prosperity? I do. Why? Not for myself. I want more money to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. I want that wealth transfer. I want that wealth transfer, baby. Amen. Listen, I didn't take a vow of poverty like the Catholics do, okay? I ain't no dummy. My mommy didn't raise no dummy. Amen. Listen to this. Disobedience to the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit separates us from the blessings of the covenant. And by the way, it separates us from the new and better covenant, as the word says. It's new and better than the old covenant. Listen, there was financial prosperity, there was healing, there was deliverance, there was favor in the old covenant. We're under a new and better covenant right now. How foolish if we don't activate this thing on our part. We need to take responsibility for our part. Amen? Go with me back to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I'll tell you, someone who doesn't want you to have financial prosperity. Satan. I don't want to be on his side. Why do you think he doesn't want you to have it? Because he doesn't want you to advance the kingdom of God. God's going to give it to those who truly have a pure heart. Amen. I mean, would you put your money in a bag with holes in it? God doesn't either. Are you following me? He won't either. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Man, the Holy Spirit gave me powerful points here. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing is a command, not a suggestion. Okay? And so is, now, that's a command. And so is, this is a command in that same passage. Taking everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. If you lack peace, you are lacking, listen, prayer and thanksgiving in your life as well. Now, according to this passage, if we will choose not to be anxious or fearful, but rather to take everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving, don't forget thanksgiving. You got to have a thankful heart. Amen? That if you're a child of the kingdom, you need a thankful heart. If you're not, you're a spiritual brat. Amen? Listen to this. Something powerful begins to happen on the inside of us when we take everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. It says this. It says the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, listen to me, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So evidently, when you do that, there's a spiritual shift that takes place on the inside of you. Now listen to this. What jumped out to me in this passage from the Holy Spirit is this. Because of the peace of God being released on the inside of us, that guard over our heart and mind will cause us to be more sensitive to the voice and promptings of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that when you go to God in prayer with thanksgiving, right? It says that it will be a peace that passes all understanding, and it will guard our hearts and minds. Did you catch that? Say guard. I'm talking about that guard over our heart and mind right now. The peace of God literally is a guard or a, listen, oh, this is so good. The peace of God is literally a guard or a spiritual wall that keeps the voice of the enemy out of our thought life or significantly dampens it. Listen to me now. When we are anxious and in fear and not seeking God in prayer with thanksgiving, that guard is not on our heart or over our mind. And it's an open door to the enemy to mess with our thought life. And that is when confusion comes into our life. And what do you think confusion brings with it? A lack of peace. Now, so that is because prayer and thanks to God Listen, why? Why is that? Why does that happen? That's because prayer and giving thanks to God shifts our focus on Him and causes us to tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because here's, I think maybe even Jeannie said it today when she came up here, what you focus on becomes clearer. Say that with me. What I focus on becomes clearer. So you seeking the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, all of it, the prayer, talking to God, and thanking Him, it makes you more conscious of your blessings. It makes you more conscious that you have help in the heavenlies. And because of that shift in focus, the voice of the Holy Spirit becomes clearer on the inside of you. Now, think of it this way. Oh, I love this. The Holy Spirit gave me this example in the natural of what's taking place in the spiritual. Listen to this. Think of it this way. Think of your house. There can be a lot of activity going around on the outside of your house with loud noises all around your house. And if the doors and the windows are open, it's very loud. It's very distracting while you're in your own house. Are you following me? But listen to this. If you will choose to shut the doors, if you will shut the windows, it keeps the majority of the noises out, and it dampens or reduces the distractions in your house. So here's what happens. If you are trying to have a conversation with someone in your house, and the doors and windows are open, and there's construction going on right by your house, it's distracting you talking to the other person. Are you following me? But if the doors and the windows are closed, it significantly dampens the sound, and now you're able to focus on that person and that conversation with them. Well, guess who lives in your house, in your temple? The Holy Ghost. So choosing faith over anxiety and fear, and praying to God with thanksgiving, it's like closing the doors, closing the windows of your house to focus on the voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Talk to me, people. I'm just kidding. So listen to this. Anxiety and fear cause confusion and hinder us from clearly hearing from the Holy Spirit. It's easier to hear the Holy Spirit from a standpoint of peace than fear and anxiety. Amen? And I used this before, this example. It's like if you're in the water, in a pool, and you put your hand underneath, and you start making waves. You can't see through very clearly through the waters that are rustling back and forth in the waves. But if you allow it to get very still, you can see perfectly through the water. And that's the same thing that happens when we're in peace. We're going to be able to hear and know the voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit much clearer. That makes sense? So that is why anxiety and fear cause so much negativity in our life. Because you can't hear from the Holy Spirit. And you were never designed by God to carry fear and anxiety anyways. So the Word of God says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And fear takes away the power, love, and a sound mind out of your life. How many of you want a sound mind? You know what a sound mind means? A peaceful mind. A relaxed mind. If you read the Gospels with Jesus when He ministered, when someone came up to Him with something very, oh, my child died. Listen, Jesus didn't freak out. He always maintained peace. Why? He wanted to be led by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus had to be led by the Holy Ghost. You know that, right? He had to hear from the Holy Ghost on how to minister to each person. So calm down. Relax. Amen? And always make decisions from an attitude of peace, not anxiety or fear. A sound mind is focused on the Word of God and on the kingdom of God and nothing else. It's a sound mind because of this. It's a healthy focus. It's a healthy focus. Peace is our covenant right as Christians. But again, we must receive peace and we must maintain it in our life, okay? So don't be double-minded. We must be single-minded on God and His Word. Amen? Don't be flipping back and forth. No. It's a conscious decision. If the Word says don't be double-minded, that means we're the ones that make that decision if we're double-minded or not. If it's a command, if God's commanding us to do something, obviously it's our actions that decide it. Does that make sense? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Say peace. There's nothing like living a life of peace, I'll tell you that. Romans 8, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. And it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." There's a lot to say in those verses, but those that are living according to the flesh are doing it because they are setting their mind or their focus on the things of the flesh. Guarantee you, if you're living a fleshly life as a Christian right now, it's because that's all you're thinking about. You're thinking about that stuff. You're thinking about sin. You're thinking about unrighteous things. And of course, that's going to put you in that direction in your life. All right? But if you are focused, if you're focused on the flesh and living according to the flesh, I guarantee you, there's absolutely no peace in your life right now. And if you think there is, it's a false peace. It's a false peace. And that's a deception that is crazy horrible. There's nothing worse of thinking that everything's all right. You can live like the devil, and there's no consequences. There will be a payday eventually. Eventually, the sin's going to find you out. It's going to catch up to you. You want to know what it's called? Sowing and reaping. All right? So, I'm talking to Christians this morning, by the way. Right? "For to be carnally minded," worldly minded, it says, "is death." That means you have separated yourself from God. There's an enmity there. You have willingly disqualified yourself from the blessing of peace in your life. And truly, that peace can only come when there's a true connection with your Heavenly Father. Amen? That's where the true peace comes. It says that those who are in the flesh or those who have a fleshly mindset cannot please God. So that's because you're out of faith. Again, and Hebrews 11:6 says what? Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. So meaning if you're in the flesh, you're out of faith. It means you're not pleasing God. It's not pleasing to God. Amen. It's kind of like having a bone out of joint. Anybody ever have a bone out of joint? It's irritating and you can't function properly. When you're out as a Christian, when you're out of faith, it's like you have your spiritual bones are out of joint. Nothing falls into place. There's no peace. It's irritating. Well, get back right with God. Amen. It's that simple. Every blessing, every aspect of our relationship with God is rooted in these two things, faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. And then it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because you have reestablished that connection with your Heavenly Father first and foremost in your thought life. It all starts in the thought life. Amen? And because you are spiritually minded, you're thinking on spiritual things. You're meditating on the Word of God. That's going to influence your spoken words. That's going to influence your actions. To be spiritually minded is a mindset of faith. Amen? Now, I'm going to shift gears. Say shift gears. I'm going to shift gears a little bit because now I'm going to take peace in another direction. Now I want to talk about the benefits of having peace in relationships with other people in our life. And the importance about that, all right? So, The Holy Spirit really illuminated to me the benefits of having peace in relationships and the negative consequences of not having that peace between each other. Go with me to Proverbs 16:32. I love the book of Proverbs. So good. So much wisdom. It's so against worldly mindsets. Amen. The world says this, but God says this. Guess who I'm going with? I'm going with God. Amen? Proverbs 16:32, and it says these words. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Oh, that's so good. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. The only way, listen to me, the only way it's possible to be slow in anger in a relationship with another person, whatever the relate, a friendship, a marriage, you name it, whatever, an acquaintance, whatever, anybody. The only way it's possible to be slow to anger in a relationship with another person is to have a mindset of peace that promotes self-control. It's all about self-control. Say self-control. By the way, anger is not powerful. According to the Word of God and a kingdom truth, kingdom of God truth, peace, self, and self-control are powerful. More powerful. Amen? In fact, you could say it this way. Anger, out of control anger, because the Bible says be angry and sin not. Right? So we know there's an anger that's not sin, that's a godly or a righteous anger, right? But there most anger is very negative and destructive, isn't it? You could say it this way, anger, out of control anger, it weakens us. It weakens us, all right? The kingdom of God does not operate like the world does. Okay? The Holy Spirit revealed this to me about peace and self-control in our relationships with other people. Listen to me. When we have a mindset of keeping peace rather than being quick to anger in our relationships, listen to this. It allows us to see the people and situations clearly for what they really are, how God sees them. You could say it this way. Having a mindset of peace in a relationship, it sharpens our discernment. Remember? Come on, listen. It sharpens us because when there's that peace there, there's clarity. There's clarity of thought life. And obviously, in anger that's out of control, that's, you're out of control. Amen? You getting it? There needs to be self-control, okay? On the other hand, when we lack the mindset of peace and self-control, we're opening the door to the enemy to throw confusion in that relationship, and we can't see things clearly anymore, all right? Everything gets kind of blurred. Say blurred. Lacking a mindset of peace and self-control opens us up to confusion. And that is when the kingdom of darkness is successful in causing division among people. Marriages, friendships, all relationships, church, your brothers and sisters in Christ in a church, whatever, all right? The enemy is out to sow division, okay? So listen to this. You have got to go in to all relationships with this, a mindset of peace. You need to have a mindset of peace. You must, the Holy Spirit said this to me. Are you ready for this? He said, you must give the benefit of the doubt to that person until they cannot be trusted. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, let me say it again. You must go into a relationship with a mindset of peace. You must give the benefit of doubt until they prove they cannot be trusted. But even then, you must make that decision always from a mindset of peace. Say peace. Again, peace allows us to think clearly and protects us from irrational judgment, irrational spoken words. Have you ever been irrational before? Oh, yeah, right. You never have, huh? Yeah. And what made you become irrational? Not having self-control. When you get out of peace, when you get out of that self-control, irrational things are going to start flying. Amen? A husband and wife, when you guys are fighting, boy, oh, look out. When that peace wall is gone, I mean, it's just been kicked in, gone. And all of a sudden, the self-control gets thrown out the window too. What do? You say a bunch of irrational things at each other. In fact, it's so irrational. Even while you're saying it, you're thinking, well, I'm in trouble later on for saying this. What am I doing? But there's no wall there. There's no fence. There's no restraint. So everything becomes irrational. So we always need to maintain a mindset of peace. And we always need to strive to maintain peace with all people. That's the kingdom of God in action. All right. Obviously, let's add this. Maintain peace with all people. Ready? If possible. Sometimes it's not possible. And you never back down from the word of God to maintain peace with someone. Are you hearing me? You never back down. You never bend your morals. Amen. You always stick with the word. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you something here. Hebrews chapter 12. This is some good preaching here that's going to save you a bunch of hassle. It's going to help you to maintain peace in your life. Why would you always want to be in a battlefield with people? Right? Why do you always want to maintain your swords? I mean, come on, lay them down, especially in the body of Christ. Let's lay them down. Let's maintain peace. Amen? Listen to this. Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Look at this. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up and causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. So pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I want you to notice that most people, when this verse is used among Christians, you know, most people, they'll just say, without holiness, you won't see the Lord. And that's all they say. But they leave out this point, to pursue peace with all people. Holiness and pursuing peace with all people both need to happen to see the Lord. Are you following me? If you're out of control, your anger's gone, guess what? It's going to be a hindrance. Amen? Amen? And verse 15 talks about falling short of the grace or the favor of God. And that happens, listen to me, falling short of the grace or favor of God happens by not pursuing peace with all people and not living a holy life. Both of them. Say both of them. And then it goes on to talk about you're allowing a root of bitterness, and that root of bitterness builds up and it defiles every area of your life. That root of bitterness in your heart, listen to me, could have been prevented by doing two simple things in your life. That root of bitterness could be rooted up, it could have been avoided, and it can be rooted up right now by doing two things. Are you ready? By pursuing peace with all people and choosing to live a holy life. A life that's separate from this evil world system. Amen? A life that's set apart and living in obedience to the word of God. This question, listen to this. This question should be rolling through our heart constantly as Christians when it comes to our relationships with other people. Are you ready? This question, this is what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. This question should be rolling in our heart constantly about our relationships with people. Here it is. How can I pursue peace in this relationship and still live a holy life that's pleasing to God? Think of that's wisdom of God right there. That's the wisdom of God. How can I pursue peace with this person and still live a holy life that's pleasing to God? A life that's obedient to God. See, gossiping, being a bully, intimidation, intimidating others, it's not pursuing peace. It's not pursuing peace with that person. And it certainly isn't holy. It's not God's way of doing things. Amen? Even God doesn't intimidate a person, right? What does God do? He gives a command, and then he leaves it up to you to obey it or not. Think about that. He gives us a command, and it's up to us now. He doesn't even force us to obey. He doesn't even force a person to get born again. He'll let them go all the way to hell. He said, here's my word, here's what's available. Now it's up to you if you want it or not. So we shouldn't be intimidating or trying to control people either. Amen? Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. We got to do things God's way. If we want God's blessings on our life, we got to do things His way. Amen? Psalm 34, 12 through 15. It says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Kind of reminds me of what you said this morning, right? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit just said this. You will never go wrong by walking in love and giving the person a benefit of the doubt in your life. You will never go wrong by doing that. Never. Never. Wow. That like hit me like a ton of bricks as I was reading the word. So it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek and pursue peace in your life, in your relationship with your Heavenly Father and with other people. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That is primarily, you know what the Holy Spirit told me about that? It's not only just speaking over your own life and letting corrupt communication come out of your own, but it's talking about the words that we speak to other people in our relationships. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Wow. Two more pages, people. Listen. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So therefore, sometimes I like to take a verse and just look at it in the reverse. So therefore, you could say this. The eyes of the Lord are not on the unrighteous, and his ears are not open to their cry. See, that is all, I feel the anointing. That is all in connection to departing from evil and doing good and seeking peace and pursuing it. We don't want to keep a beef up. We don't want to keep things that aren't settled. We want to settle it. Why? Because we want peace in our life. We want peace. Now, I'm getting ready to drop something on you that's going to make you. Remember how I said earlier, a lot of times we zoom in on something that doesn't even matter, and then we got to zoom out and look at the big picture? I'm getting ready to have you zoom out again. Go to Ephesians 4. I'm getting ready to have you zoom out and look at a bigger picture. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, I want to take a look at here. Oh, I love the word. It's so rich. It's so brainwashing, isn't it? Love that. Wash it, wash it, wash it. Amen. Renew it. Wash it. Hallelujah. Look at this. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Here it is. Underline it. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we are commanded to walk worthy of our calling from the Lord. How many of you know you have a calling from the Lord? You don't have to be behind this pulpit. You don't have to be a full-time minister. You have a call. Amen? You agree? All right. So we are commanded to walk worthy of our calling with the Lord with lowliness or humility, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit. Listen, I'm zooming in on this verse. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God is revealing to us this. Oh, this. Now I'm going to have you zoom out. Say, I'm zooming out right now. Here it is. This is the bigger picture that you need to understand of why it's so important to keep peace between all of us, between people. Ready? God is revealing to us that the Holy Spirit is trying to function and work together with and through the entire body of Christ. And the only way the Holy Spirit's will can be fulfilled and do that is if we operate in lowliness or humility, gentleness, long-suffering, oh yes, bearing with one another in love, and maintaining the bond of the Spirit of peace in our relationship with each other. So when you get offended with someone, listen to me, what happens? We all do it. We get offended by someone. We get hyper-focused on that wrong that they did to us. And that's where we're zooming in on this thing. And that's what exactly what the enemy wants you to do. So we get offended, we get hyper-focused on the wrong things, and we feed our flesh. We feed that irritation. And all of a sudden, man, we are a volcano of anger. We're a volcano. Now we want to see something bad happen to that person. Now, oh, yes, I'm speaking to Christians. Are you hearing me? But this is what we need to do. We need to zoom out and look at the bigger and the greater picture for the kingdom of God. We need to have a kingdom of God mindset. We must keep the mind of the Holy Spirit. Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish the will of God on this earth through us because Jesus is the head in heaven. We are the body. We are the action givers on this earth. Are you following me? And so the Holy Spirit's trying to accomplish, he's trying to lead us in trying to accomplish to fulfill the will of God on this earth. But that will not happen if we don't cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That's the bigger picture. The devil and the entire kingdom of darkness desires for us to focus on the negative things that stir up our flesh. But that is why God tells us, this is exactly why God put this in there. Bear with one another in love. Why? Because he knew there would be multiple opportunities to get offended. Are you following me? The moment we step out of love, that's the very moment, that's the very second the Holy Spirit says, I can't use you anymore. You're condemned. Now, I'm not talking about condemned to hell. The word condemned means no longer good for the use that it was created for. When a building gets condemned, what happens? It's condemned. It's too dangerous. It's dangerous. The purpose that building was made for in the first place, you slap a condemnation letter on there, it says that building cannot be used anymore. The moment you step out of love, the Holy Spirit says, can't use you now. That's the bigger picture. This picture is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than your little feelings getting hurt. This is about people, us reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is about us advancing the kingdom of God. So this little pity party that you're having with yourself over this little scuffle with this person, get over it. Are you following me? I try to say that as nice as possible. Oh, where did I leave off? Hold on here. So we always need to seek peace in our relationships with people. We need, listen to me, you want to be used by the Holy Spirit? Be a peace seeker. Be a peace seeker. This, again, this is bigger than you and I. Be the bigger person and obey the Word of God. Obey the Holy Spirit for the sake of the advancement of the gospel on this earth. While you're having your little pity party, people are going to hell right now. Okay, this life is not just, this life, this purpose now, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about doing the will of God. And guess what the word says? That's our reasonable service. Go with me to James 3, getting close to being done here. James 3, you getting anything out of this? We need to be peace seekers. We need to, that's walking in love. Hallelujah. James 3, 13 through 18. And it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom, that you're teachable. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and even demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then, there it is, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Last page, say, yeah! Oh, you, what? You fell right into that trap. Listen to this. Where envy and self-seeking exist, there is confusion, and it says in every evil thing there. Why? Because you're thinking that life is all about you, when the bigger picture is us fulfilling the will of God on this earth. Envy and self-seeking are an enemy of peace in your life. I want you to notice that a lack of peace in your life, it's an open door for confusion and every evil thing. That passage ends with a powerful truth about peace. It says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you want peace in your life, sow peace with others. Amen? Sow peace in your walk with God. When you are living a righteous life, oh, I feel the anointing hitting me like a wave right now. Hallelujah. When you're living a righteous life, when you have and maintain a mindset of peace, your relationships will be filled with peace. And my last passage, just one verse, Matthew 5:9, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. The one that we say that we serve, right? That's the one we say that we serve and we obey. The one we say that we abide in him. He said these words, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So you must keep this in mind at all times, that Jesus came to this earth to bring peace between God and man. And us as his ambassadors, we must seek peace with others as well and lead them to Jesus. Amen? Don't ever compromise. Like I said, don't ever compromise your standards for peace, your biblical standards for peace. All right, that's a false peace, like I said. So let's do our best to walk in love, to maintain peace in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and peace in our own heart, and peace in our relationships with others. Living a life of peace is a blessing that is available to all that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's time, right now, today, to shift your focus back on the Word of God. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life and circumstances and relationships. Take advantage of the provision of peace that's available to you today. And don't ever forget, if you walk out of here and don't remember nothing, remember this. You were created. I was created to operate at our full potential, to be a partaker of the divine nature. And that will only happen when peace is active in our life, not anxiety and fear. And you will clearly hear from, and you will be led from the Holy Spirit only when you have and maintain, come on, that mindset of peace. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, we hear you loud and clear this morning. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. I got gold dust all over my Bible right there. Wow. Glory to God. I think this is a message that it could shift the entire dynamic of your life personally. It could shift the entire dynamic of this church, of this area, of the whole world. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Don't leave this building without doing that. And I want you to come down and pray with one of our prayer team members and tell them, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, and they will lead you through a prayer to do that. Best thing you'll ever do. And guess what? It lasts for eternity. Hallelujah in heaven. Glory to God. Now, maybe you heard this message. Maybe you're in a backslidden state. Maybe you're not. Maybe you love the Lord, but something with this message pricked you in your heart. And you want to talk to someone, you want to have prayer today. If you want to respond to this message, the Holy Spirit's telling you, go get prayer today. And you say, look, I want peace. I want to have peace in my life personally. I want to have peace with God, and I want peace in my relationships. I want you to come down today and make sure you get prayer before you leave this building. You'll be glad that you did. There's power and agreement with brothers and sisters in the Lord in prayer. Now, if you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism in speaking in other tongues, come on down. They'll lead you through that as well. That is a powerful experience. It's not optional. God wants us to have it. There's a reason for it. Amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, if you need prayer for anything else, healing, a family member, they'll stay as long, as they can to be able to pray with you. So thank you so much for coming today. I feel so refreshed today. That praise and worship was phenomenal. The presence of God is here. And so take it out. Take it out of the four walls. Amen? Have a blessed week. If you need me, you know where to find me. I love you all. Have a great week, everyone.